This is episode 81 of Ethics and Culture Cast from the University of Notre Dame's DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture. Welcome to episode 81 of Ethics and Culture Cast from Notre Dame's DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture. I'm Ken Hellenius, the communications specialist at the center. In this episode, we chat with Father Fred Janga, president of Holy Cross Family Ministries. We talk about his priestly formation in Uganda, the challenges to family life that he has encountered in his work around the world, and the canonization status of Father Patrick Payton, who promoted the family rosary as a Holy Cross priest. Let's sit down together for this delightful conversation. Well, Father Fred Janga, thank you so much for coming to be with us here on the podcast.
It's a joy for me to be here. Thank you for hosting me. This is an honor. It's a privilege.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where did you do your studies? Kind of those sorts of things.
Yes. My name is Father Fred Janga. If you know the game Janga.
Sure.
Yes. Janga in Swahili simply means to build something or to construct something.
Okay.
So I was born in Uganda. And that's where I grew up, that's where I went to school, and I did much of my seminary training in Uganda. The first cycle of my training, and also the novitiate, and then I spent some time in Kenya as well. So I was born in this town in Uganda called Jinja, where we find the source of the River Nile. So if you go to Egypt and just simply follow the River Nile all the way deep down into the interior of Africa, you will find a big lake, Lake Victoria, and right at the source in Jinja, that's where I was born.
That's your
hometown.
That's
where I grew up, and that's where I went to. That's where I also met Holy Cross, the congregation of Holy Cross, because Holy Cross does a lot of good work in that area. You have a big parish, vibrant parish, lots of like four private grade schools. We have a very one of the top high schools in the country. We have a trade school. So a lot of things are going on. So the visibility of the congregation of Holy Cross in my hometown is so much. Everybody knows what Holy Cross is about.
Well, and so then what specifically drew you to enter the congregation of Holy Cross?
When I was growing up, I was very active in the parish. I was in the youth group. I served at Mass. I sang in the choir. I loved the drums. I played the drums a lot, so that kept me coming every Sunday. So, and somehow I also got to know closely some of the Holy Cross men, the brothers there, and the priests, and even the Holy Cross sisters who serve in the place. And I loved the way how they did their ministry in the place, empowering in terms of faith, in terms of programs that really empower the local community. And the friendliness and the invitation and the openness to the people that were serving, all of that sparked something. I said, you know, I want really to be like these men. And one of them, who is already gone to the Lord, Father Robert Hesse, was a very big influence on me. He's an American Holy Cross from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And doing ministry, missionary work.
Yes, he was among the very first group that left the United States to go and plant Holy Cross in Uganda. This is 1958.
Wow.
And he's buried in my home parish.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was with him in the emergency van when he got his heart attack. And so it's people like that inspired me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about the community of Holy Cross then in Uganda. Are there a lot of Ugandans and Kenyans and you know, other African people who've entered the congregation?
Yes, absolutely. When Holy Cross came in East Africa in 1958, the first years were concentrated on building the local church. Mm-hmm. We're going to build the schools and the parishes and the minor seminaries and train clergy for the local church. When that was done and there were enough diocesan clergy and to run all these institutions, then they said, I think for the congregation to really be deeply rooted in this country, we need to take some locals to become Holy Cross religious. And so around 1986, they started running information programs and taking people to become brothers and priests. And I'm a later generation, but we have, right now as I speak, we have more than 100 men who are vowed religious of Holy Cross in East Africa. So Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania is considered one province.
Okay.
And for a long time was under the U.S. province. So it's all South Bend really was naturally this place.
Yeah. You did your formation, primary formation in religion in Uganda and in Kenya, you said?
Yes, yeah. So we have this Andre House of Formation in Jinja. Mm-hmm. So people who come without undergraduate degrees, you go and earn your undergraduate degree in philosophy usually, or social sciences or religious studies, because it's required by canon law. And so 3 years of candidacy, as we call them, I spent those 3 years at Andre House in Jinja. And after that, I was sent to the western part of Uganda, where we have the Holy Cross Novitiate, just close to the Congo border, and I did my spiritual year there. So I did that, and then I was sent to Nairobi. That's where we have the post-novitiate formation house. That's where we study theology, and brothers go and take professional courses, get MBAs, and get all these degrees in education so that they can be able to go and do ministry.
Yeah. And now, how long have you been ordained?
You can't believe it, but I'm 18.
Really? You're young and vibrant, and that's fantastic.
That's where people look at my face, and then they said, but, well, okay, tell us. And say, well, when they hear about 18 years, they say, African faces tend to be deceptive. I've found that with the Filipino faces sometimes, too.
Young and lovely. That's fantastic. Well, now, after your formation for priesthood and for ministry, you did pastoral work, and then you got drawn back into academics and academia. Your background is in communication studies.
Yes, so yeah. Just to fill in a little bit there, when you do the theology program in Nairobi, you do 2 years, then you're sent out for a regency year. You've studied a little bit of theology. Can you go out in the parish and try out the ideas and the things that you've learned? Then you come back to do the 2 years to complete your program. Then you come with new questions from the field after really working with the people as you wind up your program. So after the 2 years, I was sent to do Holy Cross Family Ministries in the Diocese of Fort Portal, in the western side of Uganda where there is the novitiate. So I was doing radio programs, and we're doing a lot of outreach into all these rural places. That's when I started really developing interest in the area of media, because I was seeing the kind of impact we were having in the communities. Every night people tuned in on our radio programs to pray. There is programs that are actual praying with the people. You pray the rosary, and different groups are, and people shut down everything, and they sit around the radio and they can be able to pray the rosary and with the group that is on the radio. And I used to do Catholic apologetics programs too every Friday, and people really loved them so much. So I said, wow, this is a lot of impact. So I went back to Nairobi, completed my studies, and I was assigned in a parish. My home parish. Can you imagine that?
Local boy does good.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it, but that's where I started. For 2 years and a half, I was there as a deacon and as a priest. And then later on, I was invited to be the director of Holy Cross Family Ministries for the whole region of East Africa. Right now, we have 7 offices dotted all over these 3 countries that focus on family life and Holy Cross Family Ministries.
Wow. Well, so in your new role, you're the president of Holy Cross Family Ministries for the entire world.
Yes.
And you're taking up, you've taken up the mantle that was first worn by the Venerable Father Patrick Payton, CSC.
Yes, the family that prays together stays together.
Absolutely. So, yes. Well, first off, tell us a little bit of, about the work of Holy Cross Family Ministries.
In the language of Holy Cross, I would say the work of Holy Cross Family Ministries is we are educators in prayer. We educate people in prayer, especially family prayer. That's the core thing that we do. There are other additional things around family life that we do, but that's the core thing. You know, our families have been going through a lot of struggles, not only in the United States, but even in other parts of the world. And family life needs a little bit of love. We've seen challenges like, you know, there are separations and divorces, less practice of the faith in the families, and communication in the families has become a problem, less openness to the life, to children, there are economic pressures, long-term sicknesses that are really stressing family life as we speak right now. There are ways of responding to the challenges that families are going through. But one of the biggest proposals that this organization does is, can we return God into our families again? Because God is love. God is patience. God is kindness. God is tolerance. God is generosity. Can we be able to return God or faith back into family life so that we can be able to find a little bit of relief or some ways of negotiating some of the challenges that we have there? If we're looking for strong, healthy, happy families, this component should not be ignored. We just need to find ways of, again, reviving the practice of faith in our families. At that point, children need to be exposed to it. They need to see their parents or their guardians, whoever takes care of them, encourage them to understand that this is very important. And there are a lot of people, and maybe some of the listeners that you have on the show, who practiced the faith when they were growing up, and it made a difference because it introduced them to a certain set of values that have acted as a compass as they negotiate through life. And even how have acted as a compass as they direct their own families. Faith, when they were growing up, helped them to be disciplined, learn manners, have a structure in life, improve the relationships with their siblings and their parents. So throwing away faith from family life is going to lead us in a very difficult place. So what we do in Holy Cross Family Ministries is to encourage people to bring God back into their families. And we do that through family prayer. And that's why the founder of this organization, Holy Cross Family Ministries, was a visionary. Father Patrick Payton was a visionary many years. He said, the family that prays together is going to stay together. And that was the core message. We continue on this ministry. And he also said the same message. A world that is at prayer is a world that is going to be at peace. A home that is at prayer is a home that is going to be at peace. So this is like, this is what we're doing. There are ways of responding to what is going on in family life, but this is also something that this organization is really very keen on and very much focused on.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned, you know, like even in East Africa, there are 7 different offices.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously in the United States, there are lots of different ministries and things like that. So
yes. Tell
me about the organization itself. How many offices are you in charge of?
Yes, yeah. You know, this organization has grown. It is all over the whole world. We are right now in 17 countries, almost on every continent. We have a presence there. And we have 17 countries, 27 ministry centers or offices.
Okay.
We have more than 350 people that really serve through this ministry around the world. So it is big, it is massive. Here in the United States, we have, of course, an office in Easton, just outside of Boston. That's where Father Patrick Peyton is buried. So we have a Peyton Center. We have what we call Family Rosary USA that focuses entirely on the United States. So they do a lot of, we have a digital mission within Family Rosary USA. We also do face-to-face programs. It's more focused on the devotional life a lot.
Okay.
We have what we call the Peyton Institute for the Domestic Church Life. How can we make our, it is, the directors of that institute is Dr. Greg Popchak and Lisa Popchak.
Of course, they do radio ministry.
They do radio ministry. Yeah. They are really an authority as far as family life is concerned. We also have Family Theater Productions out in California that Father Peyton started many years ago in the 1940s. He went out there to get some movie stars, famous movie stars, to donate their time and talent so that they could be able to promote a good message around family and around faith. And many did. So be people like Bing Crosby, Loretta Young, those kinds of people have been on set.
Yeah.
At Family Theater. So we continue that ministry as well. We produce a lot of, we produce movies, we produce catechetical materials, all directed towards helping people understand the faith and also accompany them spiritually, especially on a family level.
One of your responsibilities that maybe isn't doesn't have an office attached to it, but has a responsibility, and that is to further the sainthood cause
Yes.
of Venerable Patrick Peyton. So why should we consider Father Patrick Peyton among the communion of, I mean, obviously he's in the communion of saints, we all are.
Yes.
Why would, should he be raised to the honor of the altar?
You know, this man was so much committed to Christ and our Blessed Mother that you see he burnt himself in every way you can think of to put a Blessed Mother and his son before millions of people. By the time he died in the early 90s, he had spoken like to 28 million, like face to face. This kind of passion is just extraordinary. There is something special about him. He's a man who spent a lot of time before the Blessed Sacrament, prayed the rosary a lot, had all sorts of masses. You can see he's really a model of faith, and he's a model of a missionary spirit. There is too many, and he cared so much about the spiritual health of the families. Given the kind of commitment that he had, and even the example that he offered, I think he would make a great and excellent saint for families. And as I explained at the beginning, given how the contextual realities of the families that we have right now, I think we need a saint for the families. Somebody you can just go to who cares about this, who has a specialization about just what is going on in family life, that you can be able to put, ask for a favor, the intercession to our Blessed Mother and Jesus himself, so that we can be able to attend to what is going on in the area of family life.
Yeah.
So he's a venerable right now, as you know. By the way, can I just pedal back a little bit?
Please.
This man is a graduate of the University of Notre Dame.
Indeed.
He may be the first saint to graduate from this university. Man came here and he studied in this institution, the University of Notre Dame. He has a degree from this. He was Holy Cross. He may be the first alum of this university to become a saint. And he's gone from servant of God, is now venerable. The cause is really advancing very well. And we have another supposed miracle that happened in New York that we have good documentation, because that's always a challenge.
Sure.
To prove a case. But we have the doctors that worked on a case are there. They are available. They provided all the documentation and presented this all to Rome. And Rome is reviewing it, and we're waiting for whatever, what their word will be about this. So there is something good that is in the works.
And I know Family Theater Productions produced a movie about the life of Father Patrick Peyton, which we've talked with, you know, one of the main producers, one of your colleagues,
Father David Guffey.
Himself a CSC.
CSC and a film producer.
So, and that's actually something that people can watch now because it's out available various different streaming services and things like that. And it really was a beautiful film.
It was well done.
And the thing I appreciated about it was that it was not just about Father Peyton, but it was about the family.
Yes.
And it was about the importance of family prayer. And you have celebrities like Mike Sweeney, the baseball player, and him and his family. And so it was both a witness and a biography.
It is actually testimonial.
Yeah.
You hear Father Peyton speak about what is important. You hear individuals and couples speak about the power of prayer and what this meant for them, and what kinds of things that they tried, and the kinds of fruits that have come out of this.
Beautiful. You've mentioned, you know, kind of talked about some of the challenges that families face, you know, right now, and communications, and even the desire to have children, and economic issues and things like this. So tell us maybe what are some of the challenges that families face, and how directly is Holy Cross Family Ministries kind of addressing those challenges? Maybe give us a couple examples.
Yes, yeah. A couple of years, Holy Cross Family Ministries commissioned a study through CARA, that the research institute at Georgetown University. What are couples and parents looking for? And they said, you know, we would like to teach our children how to pray, but we don't know how to pray ourselves. So it is we responding to this, like we're producing a lot of resources that can be able to help parents and guardians to learn how to pray themselves, and they can be able to pass on the faith or teach their own children to be able to do that. So the Institute of the Peyton Institute for the Domestic Church Life does part of that. It provides resources and training to parents and other people on how they can be able to learn how to pray, but also to teach their children how to pray. I'm a foreigner in this country. I'm not an American. I'm a Ugandan. I came here. Many times you move and you travel in some places and people realize you're a priest. And say, oh, young people realize you're a priest. And they said, you are a Catholic priest? And they tell you, well, I had my grandmother was a very committed Catholic. They rarely talk about their parents. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about their parents. So there is, there is a generation that has struggled with the passing on the faith to their children, either practicing it themselves or passing it on. So you have all these grandchildren that refer to the faith of their grandparents, but not really their parents. So what happened there, in between there? So if there is a generation that struggled with passing on the faith, we have the resources to be able to help them also strengthen their own faith and also learn how to pray, but also maybe have something also that they can be able to share with their people in their families.
With their own children.
With their own children, yeah. In India, for example, the church, I would say this is, I think, a global thing. When people get married, there are no resources to accompany them after they got married. There are very few ongoing formation programs that can accompany people in marriage life. They only come in when there is a crisis. So we're trying to find ways of accompanying people after they've gotten married. So we have a training of trainers. We have a Peyton Institute, a very big institute in Bangalore, India, that trains marriage counselors that can be in parishes and in dioceses, and they're available to accompany couples, especially when things are getting difficult and they need somebody to talk to. Sometimes you find the priest can only go as far in some of these matters. So if you have all these couples and lay collaborators that have been equipped and empowered with a certain level of training, they can really be, they can be on the ground and they can do a very good job.
And they can also speak from perhaps their own married life experience.
Yes.
Which is, again, as we were saying before with the Father Patrick Peyton story, speak to me of your experience, not just your book learning.
Just to share with me your experience and what lessons have you learned. And of course, they also have some professional training, and that makes it very strong. Yeah. We call that ethotic argumentation. This is the word I was there. Yeah, so it's from your own ethos. I'm speaking from my credibility as somebody who has lived some of this.
Sure.
And I've seen its effect in my life. So it's very powerful. You know, the religious landscape in this country, especially the United States, is tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
We're getting pushed to the side again.
Yes.
And some of that's on our own shoulders. As you mentioned, you know, our grandparents practiced.
Yes.
Our parents maybe had a bit of a shaky foundation and formation in themselves. And yet, obviously, even among young people, there is a desire for recovery of what we didn't get handed on to us, perhaps.
Because it is valuable. It is valuable. So part of what we're doing in this organization is not only just to focus on programs that focus on parents and people that are in marriage, and there are general programs that are just directed at the spiritual life too. Because people need to have an encounter with God before they can be able to open up to other proposals that we're putting to them. So part of what we're doing also in this organization, we have all these conferences about this and that, that just people need to learn about the faith and also develop a relationship with God. Those kinds of people are easy for us to propose other devotional practices and other things for them to do. But it needs also to start with, have you gotten to learn about Jesus, and do you have a relationship with him? And then these are the things that can also be useful to nourish your spiritual life and the spiritual life of your family. So it's not only just about the family, but there are other additional things that we are doing around family life. And if you visit, we have Catholic Mom. It nourishes a lot of mothers, Catholic parents. We have the Institute for the Domestic Church. Family Rosary USA has a lot of programs. We invite all your listeners to check out the programs that we have online. Say HolyCrossFamilyMinistries.org. There is Family Rosary USA. There is Catholic Mom, the Peyton Institute, Family Theater Productions. There are a lot of resources that can really accompany you in your spiritual life.
Well, Father Fred Janka, thank you so much for coming and introducing us to the important work that Holy Cross Family Ministries is doing, but also for giving us an update on the status of Venerable Father Patrick Peyton.
May he soon be raised. Notre Dame, yes.
Yeah. May he soon be raised to the honors of the altar. That would be fantastic to have, especially a practitioner of the communication arts as
he is.
He's
a pioneer in media. When you talk about the bishop, the famous bishop.
Of course, Father Fulton, Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Father Peyton, that's the generation.
Yeah, and they were very much contemporaries.
They were. Actually, they did some things together.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, and blessings upon your ministry. Would you offer perhaps a blessing for our listeners?
Sure. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Gracious God, we thank you for the time that you've given us together to reflect on family life, on faith, and on you in the context of family life. We ask that you visit the families of all who are listening to this program. Accompany them. Provide support for them, renew them, draw them close to you, and give them peace. And we also pray for the cause of Father Peyton, that may you grant us a saint for the families. And we make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And the Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
Thank you for coming to be with us.
Thank you to Father Jenga. In the show notes, you will find links to the work of Holy Cross Family Ministries, to Catholic Mom, and to the Family Rosary. Subscribe to Ethics and Culture Cast so that you can always get the latest episodes by visiting ethicscenter.nd.edu/podcast. We would love your feedback. Please review the show on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts, and email your suggestions to cecpodcast@nd.edu. Our theme music is I Dunno by Grapes, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We'll see you next time on Ethics and Culture Cast. Until then, make good decisions.